You want to know the truth? Fine. I had an affair, and it's not anything I'm proud of. And now that I've answered all your questions, do me a favor. This is never to be brought up again, understand? End of discussion.
Okay, now that may sound like it's from some drama. That's from Frasier. That's Frasier's dad saying, I had an affair. And basically, later on, it comes out in the show that he didn't have an affair, that the mom had an affair, and that he was just covering for her. But what happens when you're an adult and you discover that in your parents' past, mom or dad had an affair? Put you in a tailspin. You start revisiting your past and saying, oh my God, when did it happen? And how did it affect me? And does it make sense of how weird my parents were acting during this period? And boy, was this the missing puzzle piece? Maybe it gives you a sense of relief. Now my childhood makes sense. Or now my father's weird behavior makes sense. Or mom's leaving home for that period makes sense. So sometimes it gives you clarity, but sometimes it also just is very unnerving. In the worst case scenarios, people draw conclusions, well, if my parents couldn't make it, then I can't make it. Relationships just don't work. Now, that's a very bad premise, and you would want to work not to have that premise, that some relationships don't work. Some relationships involve some deceit in affairs, and some work beautifully, and you just want to figure out what the ingredients are that can make your relationship work. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. This is The Rational Basis of Happiness, toll-free 1-877-DR-KENNER. What we have coming up is I'll be talking to Dr. Ed Martin about what do you do if you have a relative who's dying? Many of us are in the sandwich generation, and our parents are getting older. And I deal with a lot of clients whose parents are in the process of dying, or even when they have to be with their parents during the last moments of death. What do you say to someone that you love who is dying? Or what if you didn't love your parents? What do you say to your parents or to someone you love when they're dying? I'll be talking in very shortly about a dad who found his little daughter under the covers naked and wants to know what to do about that. And there's a context to that, which I'll fill you in on later. And right before the break, I was talking about a little 10-year-old girl. A concerned parent wrote in and said, my 10-year-old daughter, Kristen, is having difficulties sleeping. And she's a great student. She's on the student council. She has friends, straight A's, outgoing kid, really good. But you know what? Periodically, she has these panic attacks in the evening and she can't sleep. And it's developed into a pattern. I've tried many things. I'll let her get into bed with me, and then she sleeps with me. I don't want that. Or I will let her, I will just tell her to grin and bear it, in which case she has a temper tantrum. You know, she'll scream, and I give in to her. She has a panic attack, too. And what do I do about this? It's intermittent. She can go for a period of time, but she's been doing it for years. Her doc says to just give her anxiety meds. Doc didn't even evaluate her. I'm not going that route. That's what the parent said. I just summarized it. What I think, this is a fabulous opportunity to teach Kristen a skill that most parents don't even have themselves, which is how to introspect. When something scary goes on inside your mind, such as Kristen's feeling, 10-year-old Kristen's feeling that someone is breaking in and or they're going to hurt me or I'm going to die. That comes from a context. That comes from some source in her life. You don't manufacture that out of clear blue. It could come from something as simple as a movie she saw that traumatized her. I saw an Edgar Allan Poe movie, The Pit and the Pendulum, and I was afraid that there were bodies behind walls, and I was a little kid. I never saw the movie again. I don't care to ever see it again. But that traumatized me a lot. But would I tell my parents about it? Well, maybe I was embarrassed that a babysitter took me to see it and didn't want my parents to know. Maybe I thought it was something wrong with me. So sometimes we hide things where there's nothing wrong with it. So if she has this fear, it comes from some source. Some kids are scared even by Bambi, which has been called a horror movie, because in a short segment of time, you've got Bambi and her mother, the little deer and foe, playing around, very happy. And then what happens is a forest fire and the mother dies. That's a horror movie. That's scary. I've had cases in therapy where the kids come in and they've seen Bambi And now they have separation anxiety from mom. So you want to take a close look at this and teach her how to introspect. Well, how do you do that? I'd go to my website, drkenner.com, D-R-K-E-N-N-E-R, and get the book Mind Over Mood. Because kids can use this method just as adults can. There's a method called a thought record, and it helps you take a fear that you sense is irrationally based and gets to your thoughts, teaches her how to identify her automatic thoughts, the thought that she's having that someone will break in, what is she saying to herself, and then you look for evidence. What is the evidence that someone's breaking in? How many times have they done this in the past? Well, if no one's ever broken into your home, then she might say zero, but that may help her see that her fears are not founded. Have you heard any stories of people breaking in? What about being hurt or dying? Has anyone ever threatened you? It helps her learn how to introspect rather than just telling her to grin and bear it, in which case she has to bury these fears or pretend they don't exist. They usually intensify then. I suspect her tears are due to the conflict with you. You know, that's a secondary conflict that she's having. But help her learn the skills of introspection, and you'll be learning them along with her, and that would be a wonderful mother-daughter experience, learning her how to be a scientist or a detective with her own psychology, how to tune into her emotions and figure out what's going on. Anxiety means uncertainty. Tears, sadness mean loss. So you'd be dealing with those two themes. So I hope that helps you. Here is the email from the dad who found his daughter in bed with another little girl. Actually, the other little girl had gotten out of bed, I assume. Hi, Dr. Kenner. Last Friday night, my daughter had a friend over with my permission to spend the night here. I'm a single parent, this is a father writing, raising her since she's been 3 years old. She gets to see her mom during major holidays in no more than a week or so at a time. Her mom has serious mental problems. She's bipolar and schizoaffective. Schizoaffective is like a little bit of some schizophrenia and mood disorder. Bipolar is she can get hypomanic at times. She's real expansive, irritable mood, inflated self-esteem, flight of ideas, and real irrational behavior. Now Dad tells us about the little girl. The little girl that came over lives with her grandma and great-grandma. Her mom is in jail, and she doesn't see much of her daddy. So this is a very dysfunctional family. For a few minutes, I was busy online, and the girls got real quiet. So I went looking for them, and I noticed my bedroom door was closed and that they had attempted to lock the door. Well, I was able to get in, and my daughter was naked under the cover, and I could see through the bathroom door in the bedroom. Her friend was getting dressed, too. I've not been able to get many answers from my daughter as to what she was doing or where did she learn that, or has anyone ever touched her inappropriately. So far, she has not wanted to talk much about it. It scared her to death when I mentioned that I wanted to talk to her friend's grandma. What do you suggest I do? I'm not suggesting that my daughter is gay. She has other friends over, and there have never been any problems like this before. I want to help my daughter and also be her friend. Help her friend. Please let me know if I need to speak to a trusted counselor. Okay. With this, you need to differentiate between what's called kiddie play. Kids just discovering, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. Playing doctor, just curious about what each other looks like. Maybe seeing Barbie dolls and then, you know, undressing themselves, seeing Barbie dolls naked. That's kiddie play. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't want to encourage any sexuality, but you don't want to make a big fuss over it. Otherwise, you can be the traumatizing agent. I've worked with clients who's have suffered lifelong sexual problems due to a parent's outraged, horrified response to what? To kiddie play. But that's different from sexual abuse, and I'm sure that that's what's crossing your mind. Since the other person does have a disoriented family, no mom and dad in the picture, it could be that there has been a history of sexual abuse and that the child is acting out. You could mention it to the grandma that it happened, but I would mention it lightly because these parents may go ballistic and may yell at her. But just to let her know that that this happened, if you want to help out that child, with your child, if there's no history of this, if it hasn't happened with any other friends that are over, if she's not acting seductive or you don't see her being very secretive or any, or there's no self-injury or hurting animals or fear of adults, those are all some of the signs of sexual abuse, then I wouldn't worry about your daughter, and I would just, you know, let her know that sometimes it's okay to just see what each other looks like, but you don't want to go any further. Then teach her about good sex and bad sex, you know, not good sex, but inappropriate touch and appropriate touch. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Aggressiveness leaves a nasty hangover. Unless you suffer from very poor insight, you are aware that you bullied someone you care about, and you often feel sheepish and guilty afterwards. The person on the receiving end of your wrath is hurt and distrusts you, even if both of you fake a close relationship to the outside world. A tip-off to aggressive language is the pronoun you, or finger-pointing language. Imagine your partner telling you, "You make me angry. You don't listen. You talk to me like I'm stupid. You drive me crazy." The use of you language as a method of attack is guaranteed to set a relationship on fire, and we don't mean romantically. It invites the person receiving the barbs to stop listening and withdraw or counterattack.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.